You're listening to the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Meet Us in Buellton podcast. Today, we're going to get a little crafty with our guests, Dawn and Patrick.
That's right. We're very happy to be welcoming Dawn and Patrick from the Creation Station today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
We're super excited to have you guys with us. I know we've known you for so long, and I'm just excited that we're able to share what you do here in Buellton. So before we jump into everything about Creation Station, maybe if you can share a little bit about yourselves and your roles at Creation Station.
Take it away, Patrick.
Sure. Throw me into the fire. All right. My role is being Dawn's husband and doing everything else she tells me to do. And I do what she needs me to do. I do the bills as well. I do
He wears the big boy pants and tries to keep me on track.
Yeah, trying to keep Dawn on track. I remind her about calendar stuff, paperwork, and things like that. I don't get a chance, although I can quilt, I don't get a chance to do much of that. But I'm there to help when I need to. But it's the skill set is there.
I'm laughing. I'm like, you do so much more than that. He does. He does our website. He is also our service technician for our long arm quilting machines, which is a huge deal. That's a whole nother portion of our business. It's hard to believe that people buy these for their own enjoyment, but they do. And he's a service tech. So he's on the road here on the Central Coast at least one day a week, if not more, depending on the machine and the customer. So,
wow.
Okay. So I do those things too.
he's being modest, but yeah, he is my right-hand man. And I guess I'd tell you, what do? I feel like I don't even have a job. I just do what I do naturally every day, which is make stuff. And all of a sudden I'll have an idea and you'll see the little squirrel go off and I'll be like, we could do this. And it becomes a whole nother project or a kit or something at the shop. And then of course I need support to make that happen. But I love sewing. I teach. I also travel off site to do education for our long arm customers. I love our kids' classes, but I think I'm definitely sort of the creative brain behind the business, no doubt. And we're known for our displays and our unique repurposing of items and never letting anything go to waste. And that's definitely my calling. And that's what people come to us to see. So that's probably my main thing, is to just keep the creative juices flowing.
She's got lots of that going on. Right. She never stops thinking of things.
There is a tablet by the bed. It's true.
Yeah.
I love how every time I come to visit the Creation Station, it looks completely different. Like there's always something new and interesting to see.
Yeah. And I think that's really not by design. It's that I literally think of something and I was like, we need to put this somewhere. And then we have to rearrange everything to find a home for that. So it's kind of, you know, I'm an expert at putting 10 pounds of crap in a 5-pound can. And that's kind of what keeps happening at the shop for sure.
Well, I know you don't do anything small, Dawn. It's always done on a big scale and creative. And I love your design. So it's just fun to see your energy and it comes out in everything that you do. So what inspired you to even start the Creation Station? We can hear a little bit about that creativity side of you, but what else might have inspired you?
This is an easy one. We moved up here. When did we move here?
97.
Okay. We moved here in 97 and from the Long Beach, greater LA area. And Patrick was offered a job in Santa Barbara, which he eagerly took. So that was the motivation for us moving. And at the time I had a business, I was self-employed in the event industry down in that area. And when I moved here, didn't really transfer over all that many years ago, like it is now that we're known for the events on the Central Coast, but that really wasn't the case way back then. And so my business sort of dissolved. I was commuting back and forth to that area, finishing up contracts over the next year that we had lived here. And I got lonely. Like terribly depressed and lonely. And Patrick and I don't have kids. So without like other human beings in our age range, we were young. There weren't as many young families here as there is now. And I would sit at home and I was depressed all day. And I would be watching, I was a firm staple on the A&E channel, that I would literally sit home on the couch and cry and watch Banachek and Columbo and Murder, She Wrote, you know, all of these old geezer mysteries. And then he would come home after like a 15-hour day and I'd talk his ear off. So ultimately I needed to find something to do. And I didn't have any friends. So it had to be something in which I could make friends. And at the time there wasn't a fabric shop in Buellton for sure. There is Rasmussen's in Solvang, still has a yardage department, which is kind of awesome and old school. But they had recently, quite frankly, moved it upstairs. And as the population of creative people were aging significantly, getting up and down the staircase in Rasmussen's, I mean, truth be told, was becoming a challenge. So I thought, you know what, if I started selling fabric out of my house one day a month, I wonder if people would come and buy fabric and be my friend and sit on the couch and make me cookies. And it was really just honestly a way to meet people. And I had had an in that fabric industry from my event company. So that wasn't really a huge jump for me, but ultimately that's what it turned into. And I joined a local quilt guild and started saying, you know, the first Wednesday of every month from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., come and buy fabric in my living room. And I was buying season end fabric, so the prices were good. And it did. It worked great. I had my, knock on wood, my home base business license for the thriving city of Buellton. And one of those things is, you know, that you can't have more, I think at the time it was like 5 or 6 people on your property at one time. And so after probably about 4 months, word had traveled to the outer areas of the quilting world, and people were making a day of it, and they were driving in from Camarillo and Thousand Oaks, and they were going out for lunch. And, you know, all of a sudden at 9 a.m., I'd open my door and there'd be 20 women standing outside with their coffee.
Oh my goodness.
So we had sort of outgrown the legalities, if you will, of having a home-based business. And, one thing led to another, and a suite was available, and I had to beg and beg and beg. And Patrick, one of his favorite movies is Field of Dreams. And I said, well, if I build it, they will come. So Steve Licken, that owns Steve Will and Tire, had a suite available, and I moved in over there. He thought I was crazy. He only would rent to me month to month because he thought, this little girl isn't going to be able, who's going to sew anything? Ultimately, I lasted there 3 months. I outgrew that suite, moved into a larger suite, signed a 5-year lease. And I guess the rest is kind of history, but I ultimately started because I was lonely and I didn't have a community. And back then, in, you know, that time frame in 97, Buellton wasn't as big as it is now. And there wasn't as much to get involved in and do as there is now. The irony is I'm one of the first places people stop when they do move to the Valley and have kind of become that yeah. place for them. So instead of them sitting on their couch and watching old reruns of Columbo, they come in and hang out mm-hmm. with us at the shop saying, you know, I just moved here. This is so great. And I'm kind of a Valley concierge that when people say, you know, I need such and such, and I'm like, oh yeah, I know who has that. And even if they don't have it, I know who does. Or hey, so-and-so's got one of those in the barn. Let me give them a call and see if, you know, we just kind of know everybody now. But ultimately that's what it was. It was a sense of belonging and wanting to make friends. So ultimately that's why we opened up the shop.
What an amazing gift that you've given to our community, just as a way to build your own community. I love that.
Yeah. It's been really rewarding on both ends for sure.
So you mentioned that you offer classes for kids and for adults. What types of classes are available, and is there any kind of required skill set before someone can join?
Great question. And this is sort of a mixed bag of answers right now. So I truly love teaching. And the irony is I love teaching kids, which most people find challenging and or repulsive. Most grandparents or parents don't want to teach their own kids to quilt. It takes a unique skill set of patience, which apparently I possess. But with the pandemic and things changed drastically for us during the pandemic, we're happy to report that we've made it out the other side-ish, so to speak. But I haven't been able to do any teaching because there just hasn't been enough of me to go around. So this summer, I'm probably going to need to take another pass again, just because I'm already so booked. But by next summer, and as the new year rolls around, things will be back to normal. But we always offer summer camp for kids, which is quilting. And it's usually about ages 7 on the crazy early end, if they've got some good motor skills and attention span, you know, all the way up to high school kids. And we all make a quilt. It's a whole week long. They actually quilt it on one of our long arm quilting machines.
How special.
And they make lunch every day. We have quesadillas that we make with aluminum foil and the irons and ironing boards in the shop. So we set up a quesadilla bar, and our lunches are whatever they can make with the iron, you know, like a panini press. So that's always, they find that very fun. And several times parents will tell me, you know, last night they made grilled cheese for dinner on the ironing board. So it's kind of fun. And then as far as the adults go, I have everything from, so you own a sewing machine and you don't know anything about it. So like an entry level class. We do fun, easy project classes like pillowcases and aprons. And then on the more advanced end, you'll hear me frequently talking about these long arm quilting machines. So we offer Handy Quilter is the brand of machine that we sell. And we do classes for those customers that are already owners or people that want to be owners of these large hobby machines, so to speak. And then we also bring in national educators through Handy Quilter a couple times a year in our classroom. We have a 3,000 square foot classroom, and we'll bring in 12 of these long arm machines and do hands-on training in the classroom a couple times a year. So,
oh, wow.
I love teaching. I love seeing the little wheels spin. I love it when it finally just clicks and they get it. So right now the classes are slightly on hold. There's some long arm classes going on in September that are coming up, but probably won't be until the new year that Dawn gets her normal schedule and support system back to where she can start teaching. But it's coming. I totally miss it terribly. It's my therapy. Most people who are teachers, they need therapy after work. My therapy is teaching. So it's all awesome. Good.
That's so cool that you get to share that talent with people. Cause it, you know, I think like you say, once they get it, they're hooked. Right. And that's part of the other side of your business too, is right. Teaching them so that they understand all of these other things that you're selling in your business and how to use it and work with it and what they can do.
Yeah. And and kind of what we do, I mean, I call it a hobby, but it really is a life skill and, you know, actually being able to sew a button back on or mend something. Right. And life has become so technology based that, you know, it amazes me. Sometimes I'll teach a class for a young adult, a mom, and they're still struggling to cut something out with a pair of scissors. You know, it seems like something that we all used to do as kids. You know, you have those little blunt nose scissors and you follow the line and you cut it out. But these are skills that are slowly kind of evolving. We're losing them, you know? So it's fun to see that. And somebody that can actually hem their own pants or sew their button back on, you know, everybody used to be able to do that. The cowboys and the military and mom and grandma and all of that. And so I love it that they get something tangible that they can do with their hands and then have something to show for it. It's really rewarding.
And they can, like you say, it is a life skill that they can then have that knowledge. So if their button does pop off in the middle of the day at work, they can sew it on. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, people come in and go, do you sew buttons on? I'm thinking, dude, here's a needle and thread.
Like, let me teach you.
Let me show you how to tie a knot. You know, it's that nice, it's that kind of self-sufficient thing.
It's a trip, but people don't know it. You're absolutely right. It's not taught in our schools anymore. So
no.
Staying on the classes and programs that you do, you have something called the Brown Bag Retreat, which is a 3-day retreat. So maybe tell us a little bit about it, how you came up with the idea.
So our retreats, first we should talk about the name, the Brown Bag Retreats. It's basically a no frills. You bring your own project, work on, you know, there's no set project. Everybody's not forced to work on the same thing. There's no specific teacher that's been hired to be there to teach a technique. It's literally like a fuzzy slipper weekend where you can come and be with other like-minded individuals and work on whatever you like. It came about because there are retreats that have been going on for years and decades through other platforms, guilds, and businesses, but they've always been really structured. Like, we're going to make this, and here is your supply list for this, and here is the educator, and you're required to stay here. And typically, they're quite expensive. And I, as someone who didn't grow up with a lot of money, I still wanted to be able to be with other like-minded individuals, but I didn't have the budget to do it. So we decided to make a stripped down version of, you know, come and do your own thing. You're not forced into anything. And it's nice we have a maximum of 20 people that we take. Everybody has their own 6-foot table. We wired the room so that they all have their own power, so we don't have extension cords draped everywhere. And to be in a room with all of those people, if you get stuck on a project, you say, hey, you know, I've never tried this before. And the camaraderie of somebody coming over and helping them out, showing them how to do things, or be sitting in the room and somebody's working on something that they've never tried. And they say, hey, I really like that. And they're like, oh, I can show you how to do that. So it's just it's a really nice sort of communal area. And the cost is inexpensive. We only charge $100. It's from Friday morning at 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday. They can sew 24 hours a day if they'd like. You know, a shower would be great periodically in between, but they're not required. And we've actually now extended that. So people that are traveling from outside the area actually have been requesting more than the 3 days. So if they want to add on the Thursday prior and or the Wednesday prior, each day is an additional $50. So they can turn it into a 4-day or a 5-day retreat as well, and stay anywhere they like. So some of them have RVs and they come up and they stay at Flying Flags. The people that don't have RVs love the little bungalows over there and they turn it into an adventure. Sometimes the husbands will come with them and golf and fish during the day. Any of the local hotels. There's also what a timeshare in Solving. And some of them stay with family. They're coming to town, so they'll camp out with their aunt or their cousins. And I even have people that come from outside the area that meet other people from outside the area. I've got a mother and a daughter. One comes from Las Vegas and one comes from San Diego area. And they meet here and they have their visit. And then they both go back home from here. And this has been going on for years now. We've had the retreats for 18 years. 18. So it's become, you know, an ongoing tradition. We have them every month, except October. That's a very busy month for us. So that's the only month that we don't have any of those scheduled. And we also do private retreats that are open to just their group of people. So for either guilds or families that want to come and do a private retreat with just their guests, we do that as well.
The hours of it. I mean, do you have hours? I mean, are they really going to stay overnight? And so do they have to bring their own machine and equipment and stuff?
They do. So everybody brings their own machine, their own project. Some people even bring their own particular chair if they have a sewing chair that they like. Obviously we provide the chairs, but some people, that's what they really want is their own seat. And yes, they can sew 24 hours a day. So some of our ladies, now again, we've been doing this for a very long time. Some people are naturally early birds. You know, they might want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and be in there sewing by 6 or 6:30. You know, to me, that's the middle of the night. I would rather get there around 10 or 11, and then I might sew till 2 or 3 in the morning. So every once in a while, we do get a batch of people that there's a super early bird and a super late bird. And basically, you know, they're like ships that pass in the night. So yeah, they're literally sewing 24 hours a day. That's not always the case, but it is an option. And it's funny, over the years, we've had a couple of people who have met at the retreats that are early birds and late birds that did not know each other before. And now they pre-plan their retreats together and they get a room together because neither one of them is sleeping in the room at the same time the other one is. when they get their hotel rooms. So
Money.
Yeah. You know, you make the most of the weekend that you want. And sometimes people aren't there. They're not as hardcore and they might take off and go visit Solvang, or they might, you know, go have lunch with somebody that lives in the area and come back. But for the most part, they're there, they're sewing, you know, they're,
cool.
They're socializing, they're enjoying the time with each other in the shop, but they really are there to make the most of their sewing time.
How fun. Very cool. I love the idea and the concept.
My sister-in-law and I actually did one of your brown bag retreats just after I got my first sewing machine. So I was super excited because it gave me the opportunity to really kind of over the course of the 3 days use the machine a lot so that I could get some of that like intimidation factor out of the way. And oh, yeah. I loved that everyone was working on a different type of project because I got to see different techniques in play and I got to talk to people and ask questions. And I actually think that's a huge benefit if everyone's working on something different, because then they get to contribute to one another's projects in a different way. So I loved it. I thought it was an amazing experience. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's really, you know, at the time that we started doing it, no one offered that type of retreat. They were all big name teachers. They were all offsite locations where they were all captive in the same area. And or literally it was all based on, quote, sales. You're going to buy this pattern. You are going to buy these fabrics. Here is your kit, you know, and they were several thousand dollars. And that just clearly I was never going to be able to attend one of those, nor were the projects anything that appealed to me. So I wanted the same type of experience. And I wanted a really open environment to where everybody could get along, that it wasn't very cliquish, that anyone didn't feel like an outsider. That was really important to me, to build that type of community setting, because probably, frankly, I've always been the outsider and I haven't always fit into other groups. I definitely don't fit anyone's particular idea of their mold of what I should be. And so it was really important to me to create that type of place that anybody could come at any age bracket, work on any type of project, and still feel welcome and safe.
I think you've done a fabulous job of doing just that very thing.
Thanks.
So I know that the Creation Station is a stop on the Central Coast Quilt Shop tour. Do you have other events that you take part in as the store or anything else that you host?
That's a really good question. Well, currently it's just the Quilt Shop tour, which is a, well, we host the Brown Bag Retreats. We have had events in the past, a few of them that I would like to try and re-establish. Again, the pandemic really did a number on that. I am really proud of our sewing camps during the summer for kids. And it's not an inexpensive hobby to be in. And so we've tried to raise scholarship money ourselves for some of the kids, especially people who have multiple kids in a family. So a few years back, we actually did an event over Kentucky Derby weekend where we had hats on display and we were making hats and fun hors d'oeuvres, and we had tons of gift baskets and stuff for people to sell raffle tickets at and play games. It actually was really spectacular and hugely successful. We thought we would follow that right back up again in 2020. Yeah, enough said on that. But I've been collecting all the stuff to hopefully get back to that next year for Kentucky Derby. So that's an event. In the past, we haven't circled back, but you know, we actually had a biker event once upon a time called Saddlebag Saturday that we did as a fundraiser for Meals on Wheels with quilters that ride motorcycles from all over the area and have tattoos. People don't realize, you know, that grandmas are, you know, have other portions of their life too. But currently it's just the Central Coast Quilt Shop Tour, and that's our biggest one. We've been dormant for 2 years and it's coming up in a few weeks, I think like 16 days. I do have a countdown clock in the shop, and not that I'm looking at it every second, but I am. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a road rally for quilters. It goes from Ventura all the way up to Paso Robles, and they have 3 days to go and get their passport stamped at all the locations. All the shops have huge door prize baskets for each day that they can put in for the drawings. We have some grand prizes for those that complete it. There's little gift bags at our shop every day. It's a big deal. And you're right. We don't do, I was going to say half bleeped, half assed, but we really do put our whole, we put our whole heart into it. And our theme for this year, the tour's theme, is Party on the Central Coast. And so our theme, our particular shop theme, there's all different ones. There's like tailgate party and beach party. And our particular party is ever so fitting of us. It's big girl panty party. Yeah, Patrick's thrilled. And it's put on your big girl panties and quilt it.
That's awesome.
And we're also part of the incentive for this is we really wanted to give back to the community. So we're actually asking people to bring new underwear, new packaged underwear so that we can donate it to those in need in our area.
What a great idea.
There was kind of a motivation behind that, that we wanted to try and do something that was a give back type thing. And it is kind of a, you know, again, I keep sounding like I've been ostracized. So whoever's listening to this, if you feel like you don't fit in, you should really stop by the shop and meet us. But, you know, people that are in the same type of group or whatever for a long time can get cliquish. And I just, it's heartbreaking that new people that come to a community or come to an area don't feel welcomed. And that's really something that's important to me. So this was one of those, you know, put on your big girl panties and quilt it, you know, like, hey, we're all doing the same thing. Yeah. Let's just be inclusive. And not to mention that most of us that are at the shop are a little on the curvy side. So, you know, it seemed fitting that us curvy girls should stand up and be proud and do what we love.
I love it. That sounds amazing.
So fun. That's super fun. I think you'll be a big hit on the road rally there.
I hope so. If nothing else, they'll get a kick out of, we really do go all out. So we'll be, you know, we'll be dressed for the occasion. Okay. And there will be decor. I know that there's no camera, but if you could see Patrick's face right now, he's so excited. He just can't wait to see what he's going to have to wear.
Oh, Patrick, I feel for you. I can have my husband call you that day if you need it out. Yeah,
let's put Dan to work too, right? Yeah. Poor Dan.
Oh my gosh, you guys are so much fun. Another really fun thing that's totally fitting for your creation station is you have a section called Trailer Hood in your store. And so what might people find there, Dawn and Patrick?
So I love vintage trailers. I am not an owner of one. And frankly, I'd probably never leave my store to be able to go and enjoy it on an actual vacation. But many of my customers are and friends are. So I've sort of been assimilated into that vintage trailer culture. Not to mention that we're fortunate to have Flying Flags RV Park here and the Vintage Trailer Show in Pismo as well annually. So we have this huge section that we actually have put on AstroTurf. So it's like almost 20 feet now, like 20 feet by 10 feet. It's a good portion of our shop. And it is filled with nothing but camping and trailer fabrics, patterns. We actually just added a little tiny projects. We've added a tiny little section right now that has some kid projects in it that are trailer related. So there's like this cool build-it-yourself diorama. I just got in a couple of puzzles and coloring books that are camping related to give them something to do. Little tiny make and take kits, little cross stitch projects and things. I used to go camping every summer with my grandparents, frankly, at Pismo Coast Village. And I learned how to sew from my grandmother. So having a project and sitting at the campsite and working on it and working as a family was always something I look forward to every spring break and every summer. So this whole area in our shop, it's really awesome. And we actually have an area we've been working on really hard right now, specifically before our quilt shop tour, with these dolls. They're kind of a modern day version of like a Raggedy Ann and Andy doll set. They're also equivalent to the 18-inch American Girl dolls. And we have full wardrobes for them and a tent, and there's a mermaid and all the little pieces. So we've been making all the pieces for this and the samples and then kitting all of the supplies. And it's just ridiculously cute. I mean, awesome. The little doll sitting in an inner tube and one's got her mermaid dress or mermaid tail on. But the whole trailer section, you know, people come in specifically to buy fabric to make the curtains for their trailer. They're making quilts for loved ones. The pillowcases are a huge hit. yeah, it's fully stocked even with our vintage pink flamingos, because what type of tacky trailer park would not have the pink flamingos?
That's right. Awesome. And we do have a huge RVing crowd here in Buellton, like you said, and we do the vintage rally in September every year. And these folks go all out, and there's so many cute retro trailers out there that you can help them decorate and accessorize.
Yeah, it's super fun. It's super fun. They all take on a theme and a life of their own for sure.
So if someone wanted to get into quilting and has never done it before, what would you recommend to them to get started? Aside from obviously an in-person visit to the Creation Station to meet you.
I was going to say, come in and say hello. We want to meet you. You know, it's really exciting. I mean, I am someone who's not totally embracing technology, but I can't even imagine what my life would be like now if I had access to YouTube and the internet when I was 8, 9, 10 years old starting, you know, sewing. So if somebody's really interested, there is so much information out there online. There's online classes. I do tell people, you know, keep in mind any human being with a cell phone can make a YouTube video. It doesn't mean that it's accurate or gospel. So, you know, keep that in mind. There's more than one right way to do things, but it's really neat that you can go out and be inspired. You know, if you've got insomnia at 3 o'clock in the morning and you want to be inspired by making a quilt out of your grandfather's old shirts, or, you know, if you want to make a t-shirt quilt or you want to do something, you can go out and just watch anything to get inspired. And then you can start fine tuning your searches. It's really amazing to be able to do that at your leisure at virtually no cost, you know, no actual classes. You're just watching those and you can come in for advice. So, I mean, that's always a good way to start, if nothing else, to narrow the thought of what it is you actually want to do. You know, it's the hardest thing when somebody does come in and say, I want to learn how to do this. And I'm thinking, well, what is your ultimate goal? And books are great. I happen to prefer books over, I like tangible, flip the page forward, flip the page back. So that, believe it or not, people do still publish paper books. We actually just checked in 92 new books for the quilt shop tour. So there's always books and accessibility on different types of techniques, different, you know, how to finish the quilt, how to actually quilt the quilt, not just piece the top. So I would say, you know, get out there, get an inspiration for what you want to do, and then start fine tuning. And then, yeah, if possible, come in and see us and we can help you step by step get on that track. Because it's not something you're just going to finish a project overnight. You know, these have labors of love in them, and it might take a week. It might take 10 days. And some of our quest customers, it might take 10 years. You put it away and you pull it back out, whenever the spirit moves you.
That's why you need to go to the brown bag retreat.
That's right. It's true. People are like, I never finish anything. And I've got 3 whole days of no phone ringing, no email, no kids, no, you know, grocery runs. So yeah, we're here for you.
My first experience was with one of your quilt kits, a small quilt kit. Do you still offer those in the shop?
I don't have as many actual quilt kits, but I have tons of kits for projects. So like little bags, little pillowcases, needle books, pin cushions, kind of smaller things. We're actually really known for that. We do a lot of original designs, and they're usually at like a $10 or less price point. And we die cut a lot. They're all original, unique to us. So as far as the large quilt kits go, I have to admit, fabrics have gone up quite a bit in price. And so doing an entire quilt, if it's not exactly the fabrics that you like, it's a financial investment. So we would rather people pick out the pattern they want, and then we'll help them create their own custom kit by picking out the fabrics that they want. But we do have lots of small project kits, just not as many actual large quilts.
And in addition to the online shop, which they can find at thecreationstation.com, can they find you on social media anywhere?
Did I mention that I'm old and I don't have children? So yes, we have a Facebook page, ironically, that I didn't even create, but we have one. And there's not much posting on there. There was once upon a time. I would love to get back to that, Megan. Perhaps we should talk. It's just not my natural nature to like take a picture of what I eat and post it out there. I don't even have like a personal page for anything. So it seems so foreign to me. We actually even have an Instagram account. You'll love this.
We do.
We do. Legally Patrick. We do. One of my students back in the day who was all of 11 years old, her machine broke down and she came in and was borrowing one of ours. She had an industrious business. She was making horse tail bags on Instagram and selling them, I don't know, for like $8 a piece or something. She's paid for a large portion of her college fund through that. But she's like, Miss Dawn, why don't you have an Instagram page? And I was like, well, what's an Instagram page? So I went to go, I get lunch and I came back. And the next thing I know, she had created us an Instagram page and she had already like posted all this stuff. And I said, well, that's fabulous, but I have no idea how to do that. And the irony is, people post on there. I don't know what it is or how to do it. So yeah, we absolutely stink at social media. That's the straight up truth. And we know we need to be better. So if there's anybody listening to this podcast who has a creative soul that sounds like they want to take pity on us and come and show us the ins and outs of how to keep that up, that would be great. Because it's like by the time you start doing something, the platform changes again and the buttons move around and the icons are gone. And
our day is over.
And our day is over. It's a tragedy. Again, should I have bred a child 20 years ago to tell me, hey, Mom, these are in a different spot. Why aren't you posting? Like I could have thought about that, but it just didn't work out that way.
Oh my gosh. You two are too much fun. It's all good.
I know people think we're a riot and I'm like laughing going, I don't think I'm funny at all, but everybody else does.
Well, you know, and that's just the thing. When people come in and meet you, this is who you are, right? And so you are contagious. Your friendship is contagious and your creativity in your store. I mean, people are going to be amazed when they walk in the doors to see everything that you have. There's not a bare space on the wall. And it's just, it's beautiful though. I love it. It's colorful. Thanks. And creative, just like you guys. So
yeah, it's very nostalgic. It's I was explaining to someone this morning. It's like the quilt shop version of a Cracker Barrel. There's old vintage items everywhere in the shop that's repurposed. We have two chrome bonnet vintage hair dryer chairs that are actually like the husband's waiting area. And we've got old washer machines and sewing machines and a sprinkler collection, and everything is sort of repurposed in like a display area. So it's being used, but not necessarily for its real function. And so people, even people who aren't sewers or quilters, they come in or people bring their family in just to walk around it, all the nostalgia. And it's fun to listen to their stories of so-and-so had one of those, or I remember when I got my hand caught in the mangle and, you know, or in the wringer washer or the old Maytag. It's fun. We enjoy that.
I love it when the husbands ask, well, why do you have a sprinkler collection here? And you just look at them and say, well, are you looking at it?
For you.
Yeah. It's on display. Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah. Okay. I get it. It's for us. And it's like, yeah, there you go. Time well spent. And you're still in the store. There you go.
Yes. We distract the husbands with shiny objects. So the women shop. Yes.
Yeah. So why shouldn't you have a sprinkler collection?
Yeah. Not everybody can say they have that. Right. So that's unique.
Not in a quilt shop. No.
So one of the, questions that we always ask our guests when they visit us here on our podcast is, what is your favorite thing about Buellton?
I'm pointing at Patrick and he's pointing at me. This is easy. So you think of your answer and I'll give mine. I really love being part of a community. Obviously, that's the reason I did this, because I didn't feel like I belonged anywhere. And I definitely belong in Buellton. Like, I really enjoy giving back. I have been on the receiving end of the giving back, especially during the pandemic, with people volunteering and helping us and keeping us afloat through that really difficult time. And knowing everybody, it really is that place when you go to the grocery store, you're like, hey, 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 you know, or like, oh my God, I remember when that was a baby blanket for them. And now they're holding the car keys for their mom. So, you know, I really enjoy knowing people, actually knowing people, and knowing that they can come in at any time and we can pick right up where we left off. And it is in person. Again, I mentioned I'm not really a social media. You can keep track of people on social media every minute of every day, but it's not the same as getting a hug, although that's taboo right now, but getting a hug or seeing someone in person and saying, hey, you know, how have you been? How's your mom doing? How's, you know, are they off in college yet? And that's definitely something I don't think I could get in another community. They're just too far spread out. And Buellton is, it's tiny. We're growing, but it's tiny. And it's very personable. I enjoy that very much.
Yeah, I'd have to say it's the community here too. There's no quick trip to the grocery store. You walk in and you're going to find people that you know, and you're going to have conversation. And I've actually had that happen with Dawn. I'll go, and half an hour later, I'm finally back. And where have you been? And I was like, well, you can't just run in and out of Albertsons, honey. I had to talk to some people. I was there. I know I went to get some milk, but I had to talk to this person and this person and this person because I ran into them. It's not that I didn't have to. I should correct myself. I didn't have to talk to them. I got to talk to them.
Yeah.
So it's nice. It's really nice to run into friends while you're out and about. So. And friends you made while you were here, living here, just because you lived here. So
right. And Patrick also works. He has another real job. He wears many hats, but he works at CVS proudly. He's over there with Eric, the manager at CVS. And so people will see him and see him out of context. And so it's kind of funny. They're like, hey, quilt shop guy. But it's the same thing. You know, he'll come home when he works evenings. You know, he doesn't get home until 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And I'll be like, hey, I saw so-and-so at work tonight. And I'm like, oh, how are they doing? You know, it's that same thing. Or he'll overhear somebody talking about something at CVS. And he's like, hey, you know what? My wife and I own the quilt shop. We have that over there. You know, if you need a patch or a repair kit or something, you know, he's constantly, you know, trying to help people. And that's the sense of community that you have when you're here in Buellton, for sure. I mean, at least we do.
Yeah, I sent people last night over to Valley Hardware because they needed electronics. And I know Valley Hardware's got a few electronics, you know, it's like,
and they were like at the hardware store. We're like, yeah.
Where else would you find electronics?
if you don't need it right now and you can wait till tomorrow, go over there tomorrow. They'll take care of you. So go.
I think you echo a lot of what our guests answer that question is community. We hear that a lot. And I know Megan and I feel that same way too. That sense of community you have here. Just like you said, Patrick, maybe they need a sprinkler collection at the grocery store. so the spouse can stand and look while the other one's talking to people in the aisles. Because my husband says the same thing. Okay, you just had to go get a few things. What took you so long? Like, I know, but you have to talk to people there.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that our community is better with both of you in it. It's been so wonderful having you join us today and getting to hear the story behind the Creation Station. I always enjoy getting to visit with you both. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for having us, Megan. This was great.
Look, a step forward for us in technology. Ooh, technology. A podcast. This is cool. This is cool.
If you're hearing this
and you see Patrick at CVS or in the grocery store, say, hey, I heard your podcast. Do you want to talk? We're at CVS and in the grocery store.
Yeah, let me know if you liked it or if you thought I was a fool.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for having us, great. Really. No, we appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I think Megan and I will need to sign up for a brown bag retreat soon, Meg.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Get some projects.
That sounds awesome. For all of us workaholics, we need to have a private one for the workaholics. That would be great. Right.
I agree. So thank you all again for joining us. And be sure to follow Discover Buellton on social media to join the conversation on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we look forward to talking to you all again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Kathy Vreeland and Megan DeChico, and produced by Relic.